Lime, duh.
Yeah. It's the last
of the oh, shit. What up, jabroniacs? Welcome to an emergency episode of the Comedians of Wrestling podcast. Oh, good for you.
Yeah. I don't know if I've told you this, but I can't say it enough. That Angelico, when he comes out and dances like that, it's so sick, dude. I'm so into it, bro.
Well, we'll get into your bullshit in a second. That's Nick Tulo, the supermarket, giving you an intro right away since I forgot to introduce you on the main pod. But listen, this is an emergency broadcast on the free Main Cow podcast feed a day after we put out some other spicy content yesterday. This is brought to you by our Patreon. If you dig what we're doing, you want more content, you want Cow every day of the week, baby, patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Help us justify our time, baby. Support the podcast. Get access to our bonus episode, including our immediate reaction to Winter is Coming last night that we posted. There was a video. That's for patrons also. You can see us hanging out with the patrons. The patrons got to chime in as well. Big thanks to all the patrons who came out after the show. And then also our main episode's out right now. Tons of stuff. Also, TLC. We'll be hanging out in the CalZoom Thunderdome on December 20th for patrons at the $10 level. We'll be watching TLC together, which is shaping up to be a nice card. But anyway, this is an emergency. An emergency broadcast of the Cow Pod because, Jesus, man, what a big night last night was for pro wrestling. The Twitterverse is going wild. The wrestlingverse is going wild. And it actually, like a beautifully told wrestling story, especially in these work shoot indie times in wrestling, whatever you want to call it, this was more like not just something you watch. This is more of like an onion, and we're watching a big plan be peeled, baby, and there's layers to it, baby, just like ogres, you know. And so there's actually a lot more to think about than hits the eye from last night's really perfect work of the wrestling verse. And so I got Tulo here. We're dancing out to the Angelico. So before we get into it and talking about the implications of Sting showing up, from Kenny being the champ, and most importantly, really, is the Impact crossover, right?
Yeah.
And what that means. I wanted to say two things. First thing I want to say is that if you watch the video right now, which is posted on the Comedians Wrestling and the Dan Black Attack YouTube page, you can see Tulo looking insanely like Weekend at Bernie's right now. I mean, he almost looks like hipster Bernie right now. I mean, yo, do that. Honestly, your phone's moving. You look with the Kenny Omega shirt on.
I might be dead. I don't even know if I'm alive right now.
It was Marky Kenny. It's unbelievable. Okay, here's the other thing I want to say.
We got
an audition right after this.
Yeah.
And the description of the character I got to do, I do these virtual auditions now in my house. It's wild.
Oh, what flavor is that?
Lime, duh. But it's pretty awesome because I don't think auditions are ever going to go back. They're going to start realizing, oh, we can cast like this. Like, it's so much more cost effective. And and like in LA where I will sometimes sit in 4 hours of traffic to read two lines. You know? I could do it literally right next to my bed. I mean, it's insane. But anyway, just like movies now, you know, this affects wrestling, but it affects right now. We're talking about the value of wrestling because the media landscape is changing and, man, all the new movies that Warner Brothers is putting out next year, including
crazy
Wonder Woman, Dune, like huge movies, Matrix 4, insanely huge movies are going to be
Mortal Kombat.
Buy them from your house for probably what, $30 they're going to cost?
Probably, if they're going to HBO Max, do you even have to buy them?
Are they all going to HBO Max?
That's what I heard.
I know Wonder Woman 1984 is going to HBO Max, which, like, so I don't know. I don't think we come back from that. I don't think, right? And so I wonder if that affects wrestling being a live, will be one of the live events where it has live tickets and there's a lot of reasons to go in person, you know? I think wrestling's going to grow from all this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, who's going to go to a movie theater ever again? I mean, honestly.
I love the movie theaters, but in LA, I go to the movies. Me and my wife go to the movies sometimes twice a weekend. Like, it's a big part of our life, you know?
But they're not going to be able to sustain because no one's going to – I'm not saying you specifically. I'm saying the mass majority of people aren't going to go to movie theaters anymore. So, like, what's going to happen is we're reaching that point where it happens with, like, so many things. It's like, you know, once it becomes dead for a while, it never – you know, it's gone forever.
Yeah, it's a new norm. Like, it's hard to put that genie back in the bottle, right? And, like, things become – it's like once convenience is unleashed, like, there's still a lot of benefit to a Blu-ray. Like, a Blu-ray now with the, like, you know, with the 4K remastering they're doing, like, if you get a Blu-ray and you put that on over streaming a movie – you'll be like, wow, this quality is fucking insane. And then you're actually most of the time bringing your TV up to its actual capabilities, which you're not doing when you're streaming. But at the same time, convenience is king, you know?
Yeah. And also, everything streams in like 4K now anyway. Like, you can get like some of the best big movies. All those movies that are come on HBO Max are all going to be in 4K. It's like, whatever.
Right.
But yeah.
Not to mention the implications of like, okay – think about how crazy our lives were before the pandemic. Not us specifically, because you and I are just man babies. But, like, I mean, we're talking about people who have children in, like, multiple schools, commute to Manhattan to fucking do stocks and whatnot, right? Like, these people are living insane existences. You think they're ever going back to the movie theater? You think these people are ever going to be like, oh, I'm going to take my kid to Monday Night Raw. They're probably going to be, we can watch Monday Night Raw in the living room, like, from the Thunderdome. Like the implications of this are going to be big. Like, doesn't mean people are not going to go to live events, but I would not be shocked if a lot of rows are now virtual at events. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. I'm
like,
not
rows
ready
of
for
seats
that.
Stay virtual, right? Because if you can make money like that, because who cares if they're even in the seat? You know what I mean? It's kind of like crazy. You might be able to sit in multiple seats in the same spot for less money, but you make more money. I'm just saying the implications here, when you establish something as a new norm,
I mean,
it's crazy, and it will affect wrestling.
There were a lot of people in Daly's.
It's not my
last
point
night.
At all, by the way.
I know.
And that's the reason we did this emergency pod, is because, man, like, I don't know where this all goes, and it's hilarious. Yeah. It's Sting.
Well,
you got to credit Sting. Sting showing up is
in the middle
catalyst.
Of a pandemic, in the middle of a pandemic, probably very much at risk, like, you know, of getting it.
You know what I call Sting now, though. I mean,
oh, St. Nick, man. He's back.
Yeah, St. Nick Sting, Winter Sting.
Well, I will say this.
White Walker Sting.
To transition from talking about like live events and stuff, I mean, there were a ton of people in Daly's Place last night. I wonder how many people actually did we get that? I mean, I'm sure that's not a number that they're going to release, but we're literally rising back up in our pandemic again. And we're just, you know, they're
that's
talking
Florida,
about selling
man.
Tickets.
There's no rules in Florida.
I'm just saying. It's like, all right, some places are still trying to make it work.
There's always money in selling tickets, obviously.
Yeah.
Totally. But here was my point about this audition. Yeah. So, all right, let me read you the part. Right now, all right, so the description is, he should look like a mechanic, guy who works in a tire store, blue collar, but he's not too confident or cool. Okay? Let me ask you something. Can I rock the slither? You think I can rock this? The slither? This looking like a mechanic? A guy would wear this? I can sneak Randy Orton merch into my audition today?
Bro, I don't know. Maybe put like a button down underneath it or something? Or like...
Okay, I won't wear it. I was thinking maybe a mechanic. You would have arms out. But maybe it's too cool, right?
Mechanic should be like a button up, like a shitty looking button up or something, right?
All right, fine. You're no fun, man.
But I mean, listen, if you don't give a fuck, rock the fucking Slither merch. I mean, obviously.
All right. Thanks, Bernie. All right. So I got that out of the way. I also did a fun thing this today. I did a little wrestling trivia game show for College Humor for Dropout.
Stick.
It was a really good time. Really. I don't know when it comes out. I'll let you guys know when it comes out.
It's tough, right?
But really tough questions.
Yeah,
it's
I know, man.
Really, really tough questions, but had a fucking blast. Got a bunch. I got a bunch right. But I actually was arguing with the host a bunch. You'll check it out.
Sean Ross from Fightful is like. I mean, I think he might be the biggest wrestling mark I've ever encountered in my life. The guy knows so much, and he's really good at his job. Dude, that guy goes on those quiz shows, and he knows everything about wrestling. Everything. It's insane. I thought I'm a mark. I'm like a mark right. In a whole different way. This is a whole level of another mark of how much people actually know. It's really incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Always blown away.
These questions are really fucking tough. I mean, I got all the ones that like you guys would get, but yeah. They had a couple of, but this was more like, these questions are more, you guys will see it, but it's more about the nuance. It's more about like catching the wording of something. It was really small, but that's why I would argue, you know?
Gotcha.
Like one nuance we get into, I'll give you a little tease, but this is, I don't think they would care if I said this, but like one thing was like, we were arguing over if her name is Charlotte or Charlotte Flair, you know? In kayfabe, and I was wrong in that. I'll just say yeah. I was wrong on that side of it. I was arguing for a point, but now I think about it, I'm wrong. you'll see that when you get. Anyway, I see that as more of a preview for that for that show. But that was a really fun thing. Anyway, Tulo, you came at me and you're showing. You're right now rocking the Kenny Omega, the cleaner, Terminator shirt.
My favorite wrestler in the whole world, Kenny Omega.
I mean, can we talk about this?
Yo, dude.
You have something to say about this?
I do.
I have something to say about it, but I want you to go first. Kenny Omega, by the way, if you haven't seen yet, he won the AEW title last night in what many are calling the Impact Screwjob. Tilo, you've been a heavy critic of Kenny Omega, to be honest. Most people I know have. If you go through my text chain, anyone who texts me about wrestling is not innocent.
Except
for, to be honest, there's one guy who really did a nice job, but he's very good at this because he's a sneak and covering his bases. His name's Jason Shapiro. Shapiro, who always said, don't underestimate Kenny, which I always said as well. But Tulo, what are your thoughts on Kenny Omega as of today? You're wearing a Kenny Omega shirt.
I mean, everybody knows I'm the super mark. So it's like, man, when nights like last night happened where I just get so fucking worked and I get blindsided by wrestling and how awesome wrestling can be. Like last night, I forgot who tweeted it. Oh, it was one of the guys from the new tag teams, Bowens, Anthony Bowens, tweeted last night was like the top level of pro wrestling. Like last night was pro wrestling. And it was such a good example because I didn't see it coming. And like Kenny does this and is so good at this. He gets you to like think like, I don't get it. I don't get this guy. What's the whole big deal? He just constantly puts on great matches, but like nothing about him is ever interesting. And he lulls you to sleep until you're pissed at him and you're yelling about his pants every week. And you're telling him that he's like wasting his time. And of course this is Kenny. And then out of nowhere, he fucking does something like this. And you're like, God fucking damn it. Kenny's the greatest wrestler in the fucking whole world. Every single time. Like I remember I can't.
Well, Shebs made the point on here. I just want to point out Shebs. And thanks to a bunch of people becoming patrons today. I just want to thank you guys for supporting the podcast. Like,
wow. Nice.
I would like to put out more and more content. So that's like, if you want more Kyle, if you want to hear us talk about wrestling more, especially as, to be honest, Impact's now going to become a relevant show. I'm into maybe making an Impact show weekly. The AEW is going to put up. So like, we'll put out more content the more you guys support us, you know?
Listen,
I'm looking to do this every day of my life. So,
yeah. And honestly, we're probably gonna starting on Sunday, like for a solid week, we're gonna just do a lot. We're gonna put out a lot of content because we have to. I mean, we need to.
I'm interrupting you, but and you were making some cool points. I'm sorry, but I just want to say that Tulo and I are gonna go like over this next week. We're gonna go on a content smashing tour. We're going to be doing this. We're going to be doing war games. We'll put out emergency episodes. We're going to do an Impact episode, obviously. We might come on right after Raw next week. Who fucking knows? This is kind of the content. Honestly, this is called the experiment of quantity for you guys. Mm-hmm. Is that if we blast you guys with content and show us some love. And the only way to do it is Patreon. Up your donation on Patreon contribution. And and also become a patron if you're not a patron. Just go patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Think about it, you're supporting us. We're independent artists, you know? Mm-hmm. We do this on our own. And stuff your money will go to, by the way, on the pod is that, like, I'm trying to get too low a new microphone, like stuff like that. So, you know, it goes a lot of money. Your money goes into making the show better as well. So, anyway, and also, let's, you know, everybody donate to the pod because let's make this my job. I mean,
yeah.
I don't need to audition to be a mechanic anymore because you got. But anyway. No,
to
I
be honest, it motivates me to fucking watch wrestling every week and come back and put out fucking content because honestly, the people want it. So you're just going to keep giving it. I mean, like, this is undeniable right now. We have to be like, I was up till 3 o'clock in the morning last night. I couldn't absorb enough of what was going on. I felt like a little kid on Christmas. Like, I was just given PS5 and I'm going to just stay up all night and just play the new Spider-Man game. That's what it felt like. I was like, I'm just going to stay up all night and talk wrestling to whoever wants to talk wrestling with me. And if you were a part of that, thank you.
Last night you were insane. I mean, last night it was amazing. Tulo, I'm sure you gave me some insight into Tulo. Last night, Tulo, how barky we are on this plot. Last night, Tulo really was texting me like, yo, I'm not going to sleep. I can't, like, he couldn't go to sleep. He couldn't go to sleep last night because his juices were flowing way too high from all the Sweet Street Pro Wrestling action. I mean, okay, let's try to peel all this back. So, in terms of the landscape of pro wrestling, right? And we'll go back to talking about Kenny because it'll tie in because I do have a lot more to say about Kenny. And one thing I want to say before, I don't want to forget to say this during the pod, is Tulo, I completely support you going totally 180 on Kenny Omega. It goes back to my whole thesis on wrestling. You don't need to be – that's not like like the Sox when they were in their curse years. I don't, that's sports bullshit and, you know –
I have a
not changing my lifestyle.
Yeah.
I'm sports are exactly my
thing, so you know, I don't care about that. I think right now also in wrestling, there's times where stuff's not working. Because it's like the same thing as your favorite, it's more like not sports bullshit, it's more like every director, every writer of movies puts out a shit movie. Okay? Everyone you know, I was listening to my buddy Pat Walsh and Joe DeRosa. They have a great podcast called We'll See You in Hell. And they talk about horror films and they kind of get into genre films. And they're always like, you know, right? They were talking about what's his name? Dave Cronenberg, who made The Fly, which is like an incredible movie. And then they were talking about his shit movies also. You're like, everybody makes shit when they're making artists. So I feel like this thing where it's like, oh, you're criticizing. I feel like everyone's lens is way off. Wrestlers should be. That's why I always applaud when wrestlers try shit. It gets really tricky in WWE because in WWE, they're not really trying stuff. They're actors for Vince's script. So it's like when you're criticizing a wrestler, more than 60% of what you're saying, and we can argue about the percentage, but honestly, who cares? 50, whatever, 30, who gives a shit? You're criticizing the writing of Vince McMahon, right?
Correct.
But the cool thing about AEW, and maybe we're getting worked, I don't actually know their creative process over there, but from what we hear, is it feels like you're criticizing Kenny. Kenny has a lot of autonomy, and it felt like you were actually being like, Kenny, I don't like what you're up to right now. So that when he turns it around and what he did is cool, in spite of what he did that you didn't like, that's perfect wrestling. That's the zone where I'm looking to watch wrestling. That's our artistic freedom.
That's my lane.
Of wrestling. Where Tony Khan, just like Vince, they are a vessel for the voice of their artists, which are these pro wrestlers. Tulo?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. That's my lane. That's where I'm always at. And that's why when AEW fans like come at me so aggressively when I'm just being honest with saying that, hey, listen, I was literally turned that show off last night. I'm like, man, there's no effort here.
Good for you.
And And I was like, I can't believe they're doing this. Like, man, they're just letting me down so much right now. I was expecting like this awesome looking set. I was honestly thinking there was going to be snow before the snow even came out. They didn't give me any of that. They just kind of downplayed it. It felt like a ripoff of Game of Thrones.
I forgot that snow machines are a thing.
Yeah, I knew it.
I mean, I lived in California so long that I forgot about, like, you know, they make artificial snow. And the concept, has artificial snow ever been used in pro wrestling in the past? I don't know, because they've never done it, like, truly outside in the cold like that, right? So I actually don't know. I mean, maybe there is an example or not, but, like, what a – like, that was snow, right? Dude. That was, like, a snowblower? That was not, like – that was, like
– No, it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't. They had them over the
wasn't
tunnels.
Paper, though, right? It looked snow. It was real snow.
It was an actual snow machine. They were blowing snow.
That's why
snow.
They kept talking about the temperature, right? And because they were like, we can make snow. It's cold enough, because it was like 40-something degrees.
42,
which is not freezing.
Yeah.
It's not freezing, but it's cold enough to make fake snow. It just won't stick, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's I mean, yeah, the ideal temperatures to create snow, because I go snowboarding, it has to drop below freezing. And once it does, then, like, you can blow as much snow as you want. It will stick. It's like, perfect. Last night was just more of a decoration thing. You can do that indoors anywhere. If it's 60 degrees in there, they could have did it. That's the kind of machine.
It'll just melt.
The machine will blow snow anywhere. Yeah, they have a whole fucking thing going on. So
that's the kind of insight we get from Tula, who's designed events, worked on events,
yeah,
right?
I've had snow machines at events before. People wanted to do Christmas in June, you know, and then we just blow snow in the middle of their event. It pays to have money.
I mean, Tony Khan's blowing snow. Yeah. I mean, I hope he was doing coke in the back. By the way, one thing about – oh, man, I keep saying shit, but I just want to say about Tony Khan for a second. I want to give you credit for last night. Sorry. I'm on a tear right now.
Go.
Obviously, you let me go when I say I want to give you some credit. Hmm. We were criticizing you heavily on the Patreon episode because you get so caught up in the production value of AEW. That I agree. Like, I stick with that, because ultimately I'm like, I don't care. Like, there's a lot of great points that you could make to criticize the show last night, right? Like, when Kenny was running through the locker room at the end, like in the heist, you're like, why is everybody, like, just perfectly choreographed, like, 4 feet away from him? Like, they can't make that look better. Like, there's production things that, like, I would improve. You know what I mean? That all being said, that being said, there are production things that, like, they should nail that I'm not sure why they don't nail. Like, why do we just see, like, the shortest glimpse of Tony Khan? Like, right in the side. Like, why can't we get him with a full shot ever? Like, why, you know, not that he needs to be a character on the show, but, like, walking past him should be a big deal. They talk about him in the show. He might not, like, want to be on camera, but, like, sorry, the announcers are talking about you. And it's like, that's the first rule of anything. Like, if that's Chekhov's gun. Like, if you're going to talk about something, we need to see it.
Dude, bro, there's so many layers to this. I don't even know what I'm, like, what's going on, is because now I'm, like, digging, like, so part of me being up all night, like, I love that shot of Tony. I thought, like, that was Tony Khan's best moment in AEW history. They did it before with the Bucks, big foul. Like, they threw the money at him, like, ah. But this one was like, he was like yelling and screaming. It's chaos. You don't know what's going on. And then you kind of, like, this is me being up till 3 o'clock
in the morning. Screaming. Maybe the only shot I saw of him was him, Kenny walked by him very quickly.
I know. He was like, said something. I like rewound it 10 times and turned my volume up. I can't hear what he's screaming about, but he's saying something. Cause then in my deep dive up until 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm seeing tweets from on Twitter at tiptoe with Tulo on Twitter. I'm going crazy. I see, like, Don Callis, and he's tweeting about, like, how, like, AEW screwed AEW.
By the way, AEW screwed AEW. One of my guys.
I
mean, the timing of that, everything. Don Callis, honestly, I'm pretty sure I feel safe to make him one of my guys. Just for his flower exploding.
What a prop. I, like, marked out for that so much last night. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
I'm going to mute myself. Keep going. I'm going to mute myself for a second.
Well, here's one thing I just want to point out. This is where AEW really needs to keep my trust. We talk about trust. I trust AEW to do the right things, meaning, for example, Sting is back. And I trust they're going to do something cool with them because of how they've used their other legends.
Correct.
Their title runs have been really – they treat their title with a lot of respect. Sorry. So it makes me trust it. Here's an example of something that I will be keeping track of, and this will matter for the integrity of AEW. They treated Kenny hitting Mox with a foreign object as like a major steal. Right? It was like like everyone was outraged by it.
Uh-huh.
That has to stay in canon, right? Because hitting somebody with a foreign object is not that big of a deal. Like, it happens a lot. As a matter of fact, in that match, they were thrown into heaters, thrown out to cement, right? But if it's like, if it is this thing where if you're having a match, and Kenny did set it up nicely because he said, I want to have a wrestling match with you, but he had no problem cheating, right?
Yeah.
That I want it to be like, man, those title shots are held to such a high level that everybody it lives by this honor code in AEW where, like, you don't cheat in a title shot. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because otherwise it makes no sense. Why did everybody – that's never happened before. There's been countless – I mean, I have to go through it, but, like, what title shots have there been without the – like, okay, Moxley hit – Moxley used the paradigm shift when he wasn't supposed to. That's a bad example because
whatever. MJF, I mean, it's
MJF
all
broke, he busted out the ring, right?
Yeah.
But like, what I'm trying to think of other matches where like guys have essentially cheated in a title shot, a title match.
Every match. Roman Reigns just did it recently. Low blowed fucking whoever
it was. I'm
talking
about in AEW though.
Oh, AEW. Oh,
well, I'm talking about in the universe of AEW. Because one thing that AEW did last night successfully that, like I said, NXT wishes they were able to do, and more importantly, honestly, even current WWE, I mean, they have it. Like, WWE will always be okay because, first off, they can sell out huge arenas. The production value is insane. They can bust out guys like Edge anytime or whatever. But, like, and you can always have Drew, Randy. You got guys like that. And the machine of WWE put those guys in undies face to face, and like it feels fucking huge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. That's what we want from WWE. But AEW was able to make last night feel like a big time main event. Like it felt like the whole locker room was watching. This match was like highly anticipated. Like, wow, we are here. And it was just, you have to remind everybody, it was just their Wednesday night time slot. They didn't even go over on time. You know, so like they said they would. So like if they could keep that going and keep the integrity and the intensity of these title shots, like when the title is on the line, everyone is waiting with bated breath. And for Kenny to do that, I really hope they can keep that. You know what I'm saying?
Because it matters who is champion. Like, you know, like so obviously everybody respected Mox as champ. Like everybody liked AEW as Mox's champ, right? And that the fact that Kenny took that away from all of them and cheated to win, it makes everybody really mad at Kenny, right? And also the fact that he's working with Don Callis. So what the fuck does this all mean? He's going to Impact with that title. They just hijacked the title. Like the whole thing that I was up until 3 o'clock in the morning is too, is that like they made Tony Khan looked like a sucker. They suckered him. They knew he had the money. They knew he was the one to go after. They knew he would be the one to like start this company, create the best title in the world, and they just stole it from him.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I just want
to
thank Laura Steinberg and Andrew Light. Both became patrons while we've been recording.
Holy shit.
Thanks for supporting the podcast, guys. I appreciate it. You don't know what it means to me. You guys did like, I think we're doing something special here. So when people fucking, when you show me that, it's huge. Anyway, I'm feeling grateful today. I don't know.
Me too.
But anyway,
yeah.
Oh man, I had like four points and then I got distracted.
What is the fucking story? This is so crazy because has this been something that's been.
Well, can I just, I remember my point. Can I just say this?
Yeah, go.
This ties into what you're saying. If you watch what Kenny did last night and compare it to MJF, you'll see the difference between a guy with potential and a guy who's incredible when it comes to pro wrestling, right? I just want to point that out because MJF, I think, is great. And like we were talking a lot about him and his future. But if you look at Kenny after he wins and he's walking down the ramp and he's fucking falling all over the place and he runs out, that's like the pro wrestling where it feels almost like real. That's the kind of heel work that feels like real slime. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Where like sometimes MJF falls into just like classic 80s heel work where it's just like, what are you guys, a bunch of virgins? You know? Yeah. And you're like... You know what I'm saying? Like, there's, I'm not even sure how you get it. Like, Jericho's like perfect, and I think MJF will get there. But Kenny last night, you had this feeling of like when he was, his hair, I mean, it was like just a close up on the back of his head, what it felt like. And Don Callis just like walking with him, and he can barely, he doesn't even know where he is, you know?
Yeah, dude. I mean, man, there's just so many fucking layers to this. It's crazy. By the way, I didn't notice it until I was rewatching it back, but if there's one thing that AEW is terrible at is that they cannot fucking get away from when the blade is being handed from the referee to the guy and when the actual
I'll never care about that personally.
Bro, I love it. I was watching it back. I'm like, first of all, that referee, the guy that he's so bad.
Those refs are terrible.
This guy is so fucking bad. I'm sorry. Like, he's not, he shouldn't be the ref in that main event. Like, I'm sorry. Like, he's always botching some kind of a spot. He just clearly handing on camera mocks the fucking razor. Like, anyway, but this transition of Kenny is, how long is this been the plan? Like, honestly, all along? Like, honestly, like, I mean, like.
Yes.
It you think.
Been. Yes. Because you think about how long an impact deal takes to make.
Okay, so you think that the plan was, all right, Kenny's not going to win, and he's not going to lose a match probably for, like, forever, and then he's going to get his chance, he's going to win his tournament, he's going to earn his way to the title shot, and we're just going to steal the title and then make this deal with Impact and TNA?
No, like I think it's like halfway. It's like the idea for a long time was to keep Kenny strong but not stealing the show and build the show around Kenny so that the rest of the guys can rise, right? And like, that is true, and they did it really carefully because he didn't, dude. Hangman Page, I believe that his role was that. Now he knew he purposely stayed away from the title picture for a while. He lost to Moxley at his own game, mind you. And I think they definitely were like, we're not going to push Kenny until the moment feels right. I believe that.
Dude, Don Callis steals the fucking show here in this segment, dude. He is there. He
looks so unlikable, doesn't
dude.
He?
Oh,
like this like fucking bald old guy.
You could tell he's scheming, dude. When I saw that dude pop up the first time when he was for Kenny, I was like, man, I don't like this guy's fucking face. I don't like him at all. He's out there to do something, dude. I'm not even really too familiar with Don Callis because I never got into Impact and TNA. So I don't even know what – this is what's making me more excited is because I'm seeing all the different layers to the shit that's happening. And I'm like, yo, what does this mean?
Tulo, I got an emergency here.
Yes.
I just want to say that I got to congratulate Stephanie Dittman, Jabroniak, and Petroniak. I want to congratulate her. She said – man, she said, Wardlow's on the newest episode of AEW Restricted. And let me tell you, after hearing his voice, he is more than ever one of my guys, Wardlow. That's our first person making Wardlow one of their guys. Congratulations. And by the way, if you want us to announce someone that's one of your guys on this podcast, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and write in a wrestler who's one of your guys. And make sure to write your name in there, and we'll congratulate you with a little fireworks display. I'm going to be picking up this Sting hat. Tulo, what do you think of me picking up the Sting hat?
Go for it, man. So they made an announcement that the Sting t-shirt was the fastest selling in 24 hours. And it wasn't even 24 hours. It was still 12 hours it happened. So great success. I mean,
the other hat feels like this kind of feels like a no-brainer purchase.
Does it have the Sting face logo, or does it have like a scorpion logo?
No, it's the Sting face with the cross bats.
With
the bats, Sting.
Yeah.
It feels like kind of a no-brainer, and I'll tell you why. Because it looks like like I said this before, it looks like a minor league NHL team. You know?
Yeah.
And so it's so funny to wear like, that's my favorite team, the Stings. I think on your hat. I love when people think wrestling stuff is sports stuff. That's my zone.
The Stingers would be a great fucking team then.
I'm sure.
Come on, Stinger.
It's a snapback. Also, I love a snapback hat.
Come on, Stinger.
Anyway, too low. So, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, we're talking about the fact that when was the last time? Let's put this in perspective for you. These are huge men. When was the last time you watched an episode of Impact?
I actually had it on the other day, just because I said it on this week's pod,
yeah,
which came out today or yesterday or whatever. But I said it. I was like, something's going on with Impact. I feel like they're like doing a lot of good stuff over there. I'm seeing Gallows and Anderson doing stuff.
That. They did the horns. I'll give you credit. Yeah.
And I was like, something's going on. I was like,
oh, they did the AJ Hornswoggle spot.
Yeah, they're just doing good. They're like the wrestling seems to be really up there. Like, I mean, and the women's division, what they were doing, what flavor is that?
Lime, though.
I mean, you finished that first one already? That was like 5 minutes ago.
Do you know how jacked I am?
Yeah, you need to keep hydrated.
I'm getting so jacked to the point that I can't even breathe, bro.
Here's something very interesting. So I don't know what this means. I don't know if it's a deal. I don't know if they're cross-branding. I don't know where it's going. But the women's division over there is a huge win for anything that's going to happen where they can use that talent as well, right? And then they also have women's tag team titles. They just did a tag team title tournament that's concluding. Deonna Purrazzo's over there, Jordynne Grace. So, like, I don't know what this means. Is this mean AW and Impact are going to war? Does this mean that Kenny's part of Impact? Like, I would love the angle where, like, Kenny owns Impact now or something, you know? And he's like, oh, I'm an EVP at AEW, but I'm also, like, a CEO of Impact, like, Callis.
I mean, Tula, you're bringing up a great point. It's like they have a lot of nuanced storytelling to pull right now that WWE has never really ever been able to pull off. If you want to put it into perspective, when ECW showed up, none of that worked. When they did NXT invasions, it never worked. And you know, it was fun, but it never fully worked. You know, it never fully made sense. So they have an opportunity here by actually focusing to make something make a lot of sense. Now, right now they have my trust. We'll see where it goes.
The number one thing and the biggest fail that WWE never pulled off was the club. And I'm telling you right now, I think it's Bullet Club or bust. I think they're going with some kind of Bullet Club. Gallows and Anderson are over there. You have everybody, all the main players are involved. Right. If this allows NJPW to get involved, I mean, like the possibilities are truly endless. And I think that's where I honestly truly believe in my heart is they want to be like, we're doing the Bullet Club. We're going to fucking bring it over to AEW, and we're going for it.
Tula, can I make a huge prediction here?
Yes, go for it.
This is actually insane.
Yes, okay. Go for it.
I want to know, how come I have two dogs and I don't have to tend to them at all? I got two dogs.
My dog has so much fucking anxiety when I record the podcast. Yo, it's insane. He doesn't do anything all day. As soon as I start recording the podcast, he goes mental.
I got two dogs sitting here. Yeah. Anyway, okay.
Wait, this dog is insane. He needs everything.
I know. Listen. Too low.
Yeah, what's your prediction? I need to hear this.
I'm going to make it a prediction just to be bold and fun. But okay. I do want to have this conversation because I think really we should focus on the macro right now, you know, for fun, you know. But like everything we do is for fun. But
I have two points I want to make. You go make your point, and then I think it's around the same thing.
So here's the deal. It's like I have a bold prediction that I think that this will kill NXT as a show on USA. Okay.
Well, I said it last I was worried about it last night, genuinely.
I think maybe I'm being a huge mark. And if I am,
good for me. You.
Because who cares? I love being a big mark. I wear that with a badge of honor. I think it's very fun. But, you know, maybe long term I'm just getting caught up in the fun of right now and I'm being impulsive. But the disconnect between NXT as a television show and the main roster, I think will make NXT less attractive to up-and-coming talent. And I also think that as a television show, its ratings are dwindling. I don't know how they – I mean, not dwindling. They're staying fine. But, like, listen, I haven't looked at the ratings. Can we? I'm actually going to look – next time you speak, I'm going to Google it. But I want to look at what last night was compared to NXT last night. But I doubt anybody was watching NXT last night. And I bet, like, next week people are going to tune into Impact. And if they can make this thing catch on, I really think NXT becomes – very, very unnecessary of a show.
Here,
it becomes a place for back to its development tour territory.
Right.
And it should go back on the network.
Now, let me spin.
There's always a place for it because essentially it is the performance center, the television show. But as its own brand, WWE's been killing it for
let me build
killing
up.
It. And I don't mean killing it like doing a good job. I mean, Vince McMahon has been smothering it for like 6 months, right? Right.
Let me build on that point. So what AEW and Impact are about to do is what WWE can't even pull off on their own, which is they have three shows, three separate rosters, and they just booked a huge pay-per-view this weekend, and they couldn't even tell a compelling story of the three brands having problems with each other and trying to prove that they're the superior brand. They can't even fucking do that. And in one night, in one move, all of a sudden we're starting to be like, oh, AEW and Impact are about to just start this whole new thing and what it's going to be. And I'm just like, man, I hope in a good way that this lights a fire on the WWE's ass and starts saying, all right, what are we? Because are all these shows separate? Are all these shows one? Do they work together? Because if they don't, then what's the point?
Right.
You know?
I haven't found it yet. Right here, one day ago. I mean, I don't think this could be the ratings. With the ratings yesterday? Nah. Here, the viewership for pre-Thanksgiving edition. Nah, this is not it. No. I don't see anything yet. Maybe
They probably broke the numbers. They probably broke the scale.
I hate to say it because there's a lot of great talents in NXT, but like yesterday what happened to me in terms of I know what it is to be a wrestling fan. I watch when you guys are taking off, I still do this podcast. It's like, you know, and I don't mean that to come off in like a
good for you.
I deserve it. But I mean that I'm in touch with the amount of hours it takes to watch this shit.
Correct.
And this immediately, if Impact becomes a real show, it immediately makes the impact, ironically, of NXT less. And it, like my brain's immediately said, like, time to bring Ciampa up, time to bring Adam Cole up. You can't have these great talents dying on a show that is becoming more increasingly irrelevant and increasingly more of a development territory for guys who are beyond developed, you know?
To be honest with you, I think they should just go back to the formula again and make it developmental and honestly restructure the brands or whatever. Just do something or reorganize your brands to give each show its own identity and style. Like if NXT is going to be that, then guys like Kevin Owens and Ciampa and Gargano and those guys should live. If you want the big boys, you put Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, all those other guys on the other shows, have them intertwine and just go back to the formula that works, you know, like produce good TV shows now. Like the pressure's on them because I'm telling you right now, there isn't a happy WWE employee right now. Okay. They're fucking, it must be chaos. Absolute
fucking. There's a couple guys who are happy. Roman
chaos.
Reigns, Seth Rollins, the normal few.
I'm not talking about wrestlers. I'm talking about everybody else that works for that company. I'm talking about the people behind the scenes because this could be one of those moments where it just is it's got to be hell. You know, like I could just feel it. Like, what are they? Here's my perfect example. And this brings it to my point. What happened last night? One with Sting, we would have known about, would have been leaked 4 weeks ago. And then a week in advance, we would have been advertised for it because it's been leaked. Okay. That surprise would have never happened. And if it happened in WWE, it would have been less impactful.
Yeah, can we admit that was one of the slickest surprises in a long, long time? When was the last time?
They did it twice.
Because let's be honest, one of the biggest surprises ever was Edge, which we all knew, kind of knew was going to happen, Edge was training. We knew Edge was going to show up. You know, we weren't sure, but Sting coming to AEW is complete
did it twice.
Blindside.
Twice. They did it twice because how does the information about TNA, Impact, and AEW not get leaked? I mean, like, not a single inside source. No one had that. Like, that's, I mean, that shit doesn't happen nowadays. Like, that stuff gets put onto the internet immediately. There's some kind of rumor. Something's coming down. I mean, listen, what did I say about AEW for a long time? I said one of the biggest things they're going to need to do is cross-promote. They're going to need to – I always said – I thought it was NJPW, but this makes way more sense because it's domestic. But I think this – honestly, I think this is the Kenny Omega greatest wrestler of all time tour. And I think he's going everywhere and taking every title, like – and
well,
he wants,
you know, the more exposure you get, especially in like the Latino markets, right?
He's got the Triple Eight.
Yeah,
he's got the title.
All right, Tubo, I have a big. This is breaking news, even though it's not really breaking news. But I went to order the Sting hat, and I discovered something. It's called the Sting, Justice Flat Bill Snapback. Now, there's a chance that Justice is just what they call their hats, the Justice Flat Belt Snapback.
Well,
I'm not sure.
Go to another hat.
I have to go to more Sting merch. But is Sting branding himself as Justice Sting? That'd be interesting. Mm. You know? I mean,
well, winter's here.
Yeah, I mean, winter Sting. I still think Winter Sting is – I think they should
ride
that out.
I couldn't tell with the lighting. I was trying to figure out if his hair was actually –
I think he dyed it, but he kept it whiter. I think he's going for an older – he's doing like – what I'm saying is like the Dark Knight Returns Sting. It's what we've been dying for in wrestling is like a guy to acknowledge that they're aging. Like, it's great storytelling. Everyone loves, like, I'm and WWE refuses to do it, even with Undertaker. He went out on top, beating the best wrestler in the world. Like, you know, like, they refused to acknowledge that Undertaker was older. And then instead what he did was he embarrassed himself in matches with Roman Reigns. He embarrassed himself in matches where for years we were like, whoa. Like, we love this guy, but like, whoa. Like, it was putting your hands over your eyes. It was cringeworthy. Instead of being like, my knees don't work. And yet, remember, even in that match, I mean, it was so fucking sad to watch Taker in that documentary, The Last Ride Doc. I mean, Taker should go to AEW. Because, like, it was sad to watch him. Tulo. Let me finish the point. This is like, he's like, to watch Tulo, to watch Taker in his twilight, like, trying to have these 5-star matches and recreate WrestleMania 25.
In Saudi Arabia.
I understand it. I feel for it. But pull on my emotions. Don't make it awkward, right? Like, what you're doing is making it uncomfortable for us as an audience. But if you play into the fact that, like, you can't get up and, like, you're trying, and you play that up, and we know you're actually stronger the way you're playing in the ring.
Yeah.
That's smarter. My wife has this joke. One of my wife's stand-up jokes is she's like, Jamie Lee, check her out, at the real Jamie Lee, or at really Jamie Lee on Instagram. I think it's different for everything, but she's an amazing comic, and she said she has this joke that's just like a lot of women, what they do is they like lie about their age by lying down, right? You know, she's like, what you got to do is you lie up. You say like, I'm 50. When you're 35, and then people are like, what do you do for your skin? Like, unbelievable. Walk me through your process. Because when you say, like, I'm 25, people are like, meh. Like, that's a joke, right? And that's what Undertaker does in wrestling, right? Yeah, he's doing the thing like pretending he's 30. And it's like, dude, you're not fooling anybody. What you should do is play it like you're older. Wonka it. Come out with the walker, right? Come out with the walker, and then all of a sudden you flip and you're like, oh, he's back, right? Do what Yoda did. Yoda came on his little cane, right? And then he rolls and you're like, oh, he's still got it. Because that is he's capable of. I mean, Undertaker's on HGH. He's all juiced up. He can have spurts of incredible moments here and there. But he's trying to go with Roman in his prime. It's ridiculous.
Right.
And hopefully Sting doesn't fall into that category. But honestly, I don't think he will. Because when he was wrestling Triple H and when he was wrestling Rollins, it never felt like he was at his – it felt like he was like, I'm trying to have a last go. Right?
Bro, I'm – and this is what I kind of caught
I'm
some.
I'm fired up, man.
No. I caught some. I caught some grief on the pod about last night, but I was just like, you know, I don't want this to be the Sting fucking tour and he's wrestling every night and taking up spots for everybody. If he's wrestling only, like if his thing is Revolution and he's passing the torch to Darby and he's going to coach, or because, you know, AEW is really good, I'm all about it. Sting returning to me is less about him returning and being a wrestler and more about him returning after he was like out of WWE. 2 weeks after The Undertaker retired, Sting just is like, I'm back, bitches. So I'm more here for the moment and for what Sting is back for and what it does for AEW than actually whatever it is, how he's going to be evolved.
Too long.
Honestly.
I have information.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, two things. First thing, this will answer something you said. His picture on Pro Wrestling Tees looks like very recent. Looks like he took a new picture and put it up in his avatar. And it's his hair is very white.
Yes.
And so it looks like he's deliberately put up his picture on Pro Wrestling Tees, not dyeing his hair. Secondly, yes, his shirt is also called Justice. So if Sting is going for a Justice gimmick, that is, I like what I'm hearing already. Like, Justice sounds like Justice sounds like other talent. Justice is not for himself. Justice is not self. Justice can be blind. Well, many would say. He does
have a knack for showing up when wars are about to start.
You know, are you saying he's like a doombringer?
I mean, well, he overwatches the whole thing. He's the crow. He's like, you know, he's fucking, he overlooks. He, if he's going to restore justice.
Oh my God, Tula, you said this last night. If we get Darby Allin and Sting both in the rafters together, I might just finish in my pants. I mean, I might.
So this is a point. Congratulations.
I apologize for that, guys.
No more, Mr. Nice Jew.
So a really awesome moment happened, and I think a lot of people missed, and that was Sting got to Darby last.
Right.
Darby stands up slowly, gets right in his fucking face, no fear, and Sting looks at his non-painted side of his face like this, and then goes over to the other side to his painted side of the face. And in my mind, it's Sting asking him, like, are you alive or are you dead, boy? Like, figure it out, son. Like, because you're either going to be alive or you're going to be dead. And I don't know if it's match against each other or it's under his wing, but if they're both sitting in the rafters restoring justice and we got Sting with the bat and Darby with the skateboard and they just come down to beat people's asses when things get out of control, I'm here for it.
I think it all remains to be seen what Sting, it's all going to come down to what Sting's promo is next Wednesday, right? I mean, it's going to say Sting speaks, but what we do know, it seems to be pretty confirmed, is that he signed full-time multi-year.
So crazy.
We're going to see Sting a lot. Like, he is on their, like, they're trying to sell tickets. Like, he's part of the promotion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
it's wild. When they said multi-year, I was like, what is going on? And then it's like, what was like Shaquille O'Neal thing? What was that? Are we just abandoning everything? Like, are we just, whatever happened on AEW before this, is this the new era of AEW now? Like, it's just like,
yeah, it's like, I know, no one can be that excited about that.
Well, the season resets in January, right? I think that's what happens. So I would assume that over the next 3 weeks, it's going to be pretty chaos and a lot of new things are going to start happening. And then the real business is going to start taking place in January, first episode. So because to AEW, that makes you know what happens, right? Fucking records get reset. The rankings are off. So whoever starts in January starts fresh. So everybody's on the same page. So if Sting wants to go for the AEW title, he's just got to win a couple matches, really, you know, one or two.
Well, Tula, I'll say this. That's really interesting. I'm also fine with Sting not needing to build his Like he's staying. Like I'm completely fine if like they find a way to just be like, Sting wants a title shot. He's staying. It's happening. You know. Also because, like Omega might be like, I want to wrestle Sting, and I don't give a shit what anybody says. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I want to show him the best in the world.
The important thing with the records is to understand that what records do, and what WWE really, really struggles with. And if you're fucking listening, WWE, right? Fine. You don't want to hire me. My ideas are too good. Then whatever. Listen, what AEW has done, and Tony Khan does in kayfabe, even in interviews, is they ground the show with these records mattering. We know they don't really matter. They matter in the sense of, like, here's what's supposed to be happening if this was an actual sports show.
Yeah.
But because it's a sports entertainment show, we're going to toss it here and there to make the show more of an entertainment base, which is why my viral stand-up joke, not to keep going back to it, but it is the greatest point about pro wrestling, honestly. That's why it resonated with the people, is that, like, it's not just about who has the best record. Right? It's about way more interesting, entertaining shit than that. So it's like why I honestly, like, that joke comes from a real place where I'm like, I'm not that interested in LeBron personally. Because to me, he's a guy who now scores more points than Michael Jordan. I know that I'm missing a lot of X factors here, but it's why I don't interest it. It doesn't interest me as much. But when you have a guy like, oh, this guy's deal is Randy Orton. He has intermittent explosive disorder, and he has a fake disorder that causes him to not follow the rules, even though he has all this talent. Like a LeBron, he could do it the regular way, but he can't really control himself. That's what I'm interested in. I want a wrestler like Bray Wyatt, who's haunted by his past losses and is trying to be great and trying to be, like, rehabilitated, but he's haunted. But his dark side's even darker because of it. You know, like, that's what I'm into. I don't give a shit about. I don't care about. That's like actual athletic ability. That's random. That's just genetic lottery, you know?
Yeah, man.
But that's just me. I mean, but so this is why wrestling, like, this is why we're so pumped, is because they're just trying something cool. I think they have no choice but to incorporate Tony Khan into the show more. I don't think they have much of a choice.
Well, now it's going to, I mean, I would assume that whatever is going to happen with this Impact stuff, it's, I mean, Tony's going to be an integral part in it. I mean, the stuff that, dude, there's a lot of good work going on right now. I mean, they're teasing fucking.
I'm ordering Anderson. That while we do this, by the way.
Good, do it. You know, I ordered the Kenny shirt, right? Did I announce that yet? Or no?
I instantly purchased
the Kenny shirt. And I deemed it as essential merch because I think this is going to be one of those moments where you're going to look back and say, damn, that was awesome. And I wish I had that Kenny merch. And you don't.
I agree. I feel like Sting's not even one of my guys.
No,
but
not even
like
close,
just having like the moment yesterday was so like it is like I love like little totems from moments, memories from moments. Like that Sting surprise was like it got me, man. It got me so good. I had no idea that Sting would show up. As a matter of fact, when it's something hilarious, you know, I edit the clips for social media. Check out @DanBlack. Attack. I'm getting pretty good at making like taking the show and turning it into like little of like GIF form, whatever, like, you know, little like meme-ish podcast
little
things.
Reels.
I'm trying to like perfect it, like I'm getting better at it, you know.
They're coming out good.
And they're like funny. So I had one of me and Shebs talking about Sting on the bonus pod last week, and Tulo, I got one of you coming up, so don't worry.
Okay.
And because I cut you out sometimes. It's more mainly about spacing because these Zoom windows are more rectangular.
Bro, I don't
care. And it's more of a vertical format. But listen, guys, follow me at @DanBlackAttack. You'll see. Right now I posted the video of me flipping out about Sting. It's just a super cut of me flipping out about the snow and stuff. I think it was a good time. But also, and I'm hanging out next to Sting. I was editing his video of me and Shebs talking about if wrestler Sting can fuck as long as Sting the Singer from The Police. You know?
Oh my God. You like, spoke this into existence.
Yeah. And I was
holy
like,
shit.
I started editing it and then I go like, no one cares about Sting anymore. And then Sting showed up. So I'm going to re-edit that.
Oh like, my God.
Can this sting? I was like, can this sting bang as long as the other sting?
Well, according to Kevin Owens, whenever you mention a wrestler's name, you know, during a segment, their music hits and then they show up. So, I mean, you kind of did the same thing. You mentioned Sting on the pod and now he's here, man. Congratulations. You did it, man.
I spoke him into existence.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about Impact. So let's just talk about Impact for a little bit. I don't watch Impact at all. I see Impact matches when people tell me to watch it. I mean, not because I'm not interested in Impact. I actually like a lot of their talent over there. They have a lot of great talent in Impact. A lot of guys who I'd watch wrestle in PWG and stuff. But, you know, there's only so many hours in the week. And as a matter of fact, I actively was like, oh, I got to focus more on main roster just to make the podcast have more appeal. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like from a, let's call it quote unquote branding perspective, you know? But now it's interesting because I feel so excited that I have like a really great reason to watch Impact, you know,
right.
Especially as my personal interest in NXT has gone like in the toilet, you know? And by the way, I just want to say this about NXT. I've been shitting on NXT lately. It's not really about the talent in NXT. There are some great wrestlers in NXT. It's just like since Karrion Kross hit, who's an example of a talent I don't like, and since the pandemic hit, I think NXT's status in WWE has just felt so low that the show has felt like the stakes are very low. The title doesn't feel really that prestigious to me. It feels, you know, it doesn't have that feel, and I hope they get that back, and I hope they figure that out. It's a lot of, it's also, you know, the pandemic, the fall of the Velveteen Dream, who was a talent that I really enjoyed. You know, the fall of Riddle and then him going up. Keith Lee, I was buying into Keith Lee. Keith Lee went up. You know, they kind of got gutted. And so it's not really – and there's a lot of great talent in NXT. I don't – especially the women's division, you know. It's just about that show being – scratching my wrestling itch properly.
Yeah, right.
And I have to be honest. I'm in a zone where – I want to see those guys work out there. I'd rather watch them at Takeovers quarterly and see him debut on the main roster. Now, but that being said, I want to watch more wrestling. So if Impact is a place where I could scratch my previously filled itch where I was watching NXT on USA, that's pretty exciting to me. You know?
First of all, right now you look like you train at Cobra Kai. I'm just like looking at you. You got the fucking sleeveless. You got the fucking headband.
This is my business gi.
No, yeah, man. I mean, more
that
than anything.
Fucking hilarious in those QuickBooks commercials.
Oh, yeah.
The Cobra Kai, the evil guy. The fucking Koala Kai commercial is so funny.
Very good.
He's good like, stuff. Yo, I he goes, support the knee. He's like, yo, I used to be in a bad mood before I got QuickBooks, and now I've opened the chain Cobra Kai into Koala Kai. Come on, that's funny.
That's good.
Yeah, sorry.
Nah, man. Yeah, I mean, I just, I'm like, listen, we're throwing a lot of gas up AEW's ass right now, and I think we also should just be a little reserved because I have no idea where this is going. I mean, I really don't. I don't know how extensive this is going to be. Oh, and the other point was, is Impact going to be AEW's other show? Will Impact be AEW's second show?
We talked about last night, and people like who are hard AEW marks, like Tony Shade, who owns a Dark Order mask that he got from Dark Order wrestlers, said that's already full happening, the other show. So, no. And I tend to believe no. But I would love that because I am trying to efficacy of my wrestling hours down, you know?
If they make a partnership, right, and you call it AEW Dynamite and then you have AEW Impact, I mean – I mean, that's a pretty cool partnership to have. I think it just opens up a whole new thing. I mean, or maybe it's
a whole new thing.
A whole new thing.
Impact Wrestling on Tuesday night. I told NXT to take Tuesday nights when SmackDown left. But then they chose to go up against a company with a billionaire owner who's so crazy that he'll buy all these fucking expensive wrestlers.
Like Sting.
Tony Khan bought Sting.
A whole new Sting.
Tony Khan bought Kenny Omega, plus gave him equity.
Winter is coming, and it came all over me. It was fucking Sting. He brought fucking snow with him to the ring.
Dash him.
Baby! Yeah, baby.
I mean, honestly, did you? Tama Tonga's out there posting a picture of himself and fucking tagging Vince McMahon in it, dude. I'm all for it, dude. Let's get fucking. You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
You want to get crazy? Let's get crazy. Who said that? Kenny said that, right?
So
did Kenny say that? He said, yeah. You want to get crazy? Let's get. Yeah. He said, you want to get nuts? Let's. What he did probably. The Batman line, right?
He did it. Yeah, he did it. Yeah.
By the way, it's like that's like, I fucking love that. I mean, maybe I shouldn't like that. Maybe I'm contradicting myself. But like, if you go, you want to get crazy? Let's get crazy. Because I love Batman nuts. So much.
Hey.
Two.
Hey.
It's the last.
March out, baby.
Bum, Kenny Omega in hat, AEW champion, gonna win all the titles, like a fucking idiot.
Oh, man. All right, Tulo, there's so much to talk about. There's too much to talk about. I got to run because I got to get to an audition where I'm playing a mechanic. Tulo, anything else you want to say last? And when are we recording next? When are we going next?
I think after War Games, you want to do?
Or
maybe we do a Monday NXT bonus episode and then Tuesday live reaction TNA.
Sunday night, we'll do a post-War Games immediate record, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll have that Sunday night. That'll be on Patreon. Somewhere. That'll be for patrons on patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. That'll be on Patreon.
Level.
We'll do Monday immediately after Raw. So we'll have Monday night. Then we'll do Tuesday immediately after Impact.
Well, maybe we do. Or
and
maybe
then
we
Wednesday, we go after AEW and NXT.
Yeah. And
that'll be the main episode next week.
Yeah, because we have to do a live AEW because I'm sure after we do TNA and see what happens there or Impact, whatever.
Are you committing to Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week?
I'm all in.
Don't back out, bro, because on East Coast, it's way later than for me.
I'm all in. I'm all in. All
right, so next week, Sunday War Games Patreon episode, Monday past Raw, post Raw on the main feed, Tuesday post Impact. On the Patreon, and then post AEW NXT on the main feed. That's the normal episode slot next week. If you dig this, and you want more of this, you feel like spicy. Because historically, when I look at the numbers here, you guys want more content. You know, hit me up. The only way to show me that you fucking are like this is dope is sign up for the Patreon. Write me a message through the Patreon. Be like, keep fucking doing it. You know what I mean? And we will. Support my disgusting and Tulo's disgusting, reckless merch habit.
fucking hot.
And support the really... Tulo Microphone Foundation.
Yeah, please. I had to ask Santa for a fucking laptop so I could start fucking. In these Zoom calls, I can't even see everybody. I gotta.
Oh, so yeah, we're upgrading it. Oh, my God. Anyway, I don't know why we're crying poverty, but folks, maybe I'll edit that out, but probably not because I got to go audition to be a mechanic. But everybody, patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Next week we're going. Winter is coming. Winter is here, and we're going full Winter War Games. Actually, next week we're calling the Winter War Games Extravagance. It's a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday record schedule, and we'll see. We're trying to boost the Patreon. And by the way, if we hit a certain number of patrons – maybe we'll have an announcement. Maybe we'll do the annual 8-hour episode, which we've talked nothing about, and it's already December.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man. Anyway, we'll figure something out. We'll get into it. Big announcement.
Someone did ask, where is Sting on the Susan asked, where is Sting on that list? Do you have that readily available?
We gotta go talk about the list again. Jesus.
Yeah.
We go in the list once a year. You know, we look at the list once a year, and
it's awesome.
You know,
let's do it. I'm ready. I'm ready. I can lock down a day before the end of the year and record for 8 hours.
All right, let's focus one thing at a time. One thing at a time. We're focusing on the
next week.
The winter war games extravaganza, which is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, episode every week. Some on Patreon. All, and by the way, all episodes on Patreon next week will be at 5 and up level. But the Calzoom Thunderdome on December 20th will be at the $10 level. Okay, everybody, support the pod.
We need some fucking art for the Winter War Games extravaganza. Someone's got to make something for us.
Winter War Games extravaganza.
If you're out there and you're listening, can we have a Winter War Games extravaganza with the schedule Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so we can post it tomorrow?
It's not extravaganza.
Tomorrow.
It's the extravaganza.
No. Gons.
Yeah.
All right. Later,
everybody. Keep watching wrestling. We're nuts.
Hugs.
Goodbye.
Hugs. Later.
Comedians of wrestling. I listen on Thursday when I.